Welcome to the Ether. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, 2022. This was some YouTube video audio we recorded earlier, hosted by Donku on his YouTube channel. It's the Alpha Hour with Levana, Prism, and Nexus Protocols. Let's take a listen.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Donku R, and today I'm very happy to have just an amazing set of different guests together here with me talking about everything that is happening with their protocols and in Terra in general. This is Inside Live, and I don't want to talk even too much because probably you, like also me, would like to hear the amazing guests that I have here with me. But, you know, before we go into the whole discussion, I need to tell that all of this is no financial advice. Yes, I'm holding tokens of one of the protocol that is in here. Big surprise, you probably know which one it is. I'm holding NFTs of one of the protocols that is in here. Big surprise, you probably also know which one it is. And I'm happy also to give away one of the NFTs, a Levana egg, later on in this stream. That's all from my side. I hope that you are having a good time. And now I would like to introduce you to all those amazing guests. We have Levana Protocol here, Prism Protocol, and Nexus Protocol. And as I think that in the last weeks and months, we have also got a ton of new Lunatics with us, I would like to ask one by one the different guests that I have here to quickly introduce themselves and also with an elevator pitch to explain to you what the protocols are doing. And I would go in the same direction that you see right now here on screen so that everybody knows it. Jonathan with Levana, then we go over to Mr. Hyperion with Prism, and then Mr. Nick Tundra with Nexus Protocol, if that's fine with you guys. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, thanks for the warm introduction. And it's great to be here. And it's great to be here with such a titans. You know, it's this is quite a heavy hitter group that we have here. And it's great that, you know, we didn't just on this call, like we've, you know, had plenty of time and opportunities for, you know, to chat. I've had to chat with each of you in the past. So it's and it's great to see how far everything has come, you know, over the last couple months, which feels like so long ago. So Levana is an acronym which stands for Leverage Any Asset. It's a DeFi program which builds out multiple implementations that can be used to generate leverage on crypto assets, synthetic or real world assets, and even metaverse assets. And we recently, about a month ago, kicked off our community through the largest NFT minting in the Terra ecosystem, where six and change thousand Terrans, lunatics, minted over 40,000 meteors, which then evolved into dragon eggs, which became the dragon riders, which will be the core community that we build our DAO out of.
Great. Thank you, sir. And as said, it's crazy. It's 2 months ago that the meteor shower happened, right? And I heard that we soon have not only meteors, but more, but probably more about that in a second. Great. Thank you, Jonathan. Mr. Hyperion, talking about Prism, I don't know if you're able to give an elevator pitch about Prism because probably there's a lot to unpack, but let's see.
I think Prism is a protocol that's going to allow you to split any yield-bearing asset, so things like staked Luna or staked ETH or staked LP tokens or something like AUST into a yield component and a principal component. And we're going to tokenize yield and principal and allow those to be freely tradable for users, which is going to give them lots of benefit in terms of enhancing yield, enhancing capital efficiency, and allowing them to isolate the exact risks that they want to take or the things that they want to speculate on, whether that's yield or price, is is the nutshell version of what's going on. Refer to the light paper for the really boring long version.
Sure, I probably, if I don't forget, put it in the description below. Everybody should read the light paper. And probably, I mean, I hope that we have a lot of alpha later on, because I heard that we're not so far away from Prism Protocol. And then we have Nexus Protocol with us here, Tundra, which I remember the first time that we talked to each other. I was driving in a car. I was talking to you about the Columbus 5 event. It feels like years ago. And now you're back because you just texted me. I think it was around Christmas. And you said, hey, the year is over. Should we get the, let's say, the whole people that we have in Columbus 5 as a party together? And then I said, yeah, maybe different people had the idea. And I said, let's just do this a monthly thing, right? It's, I think, cool that you guys can also express yourself and talk to each other, right? So now also the elevator pitch for Nexus Protocol, which is growing every day.
Totally. And I'm also super excited too, because we are very excited to be building with the money Legos that Jonathan and Mr. Refractor here from Prism are going to be building. So very excited to kind of talk to you guys today. Nexus Protocol, if you've been a part of the community, you know that our first product was really kind of like an anti-liquidation bot for Anchor. And that was kind of based on some events that happened in May with liquidation crisis. And that's really been kind of like the first product that we've unveiled. But one of the things that I want to talk about today a little bit is kind of a shift in terms of how we're thinking about ourselves and how we're communicating, like what Nexus is within the community. And that shift is going to be more towards basically bringing the community's DeFi imagination to life. So one of the things that I think we have as a very strong part of Terra in general is we have this incredible community full of super intelligent people who have a ton of imagination, and they have a great kind of understanding of DeFi, and they have a lot of different ideas, but maybe they don't have exactly the tools that they need or the builders around them to bring things to life. And so what Nexus is going to ultimately become over time is really that tool to partner with the community deeply and bring kind of imagination to life in the form of different products that can be used to express different opinions within the marketplace. So we can get into that a little bit more, but that's a little bit about Nexus, what we are today and kind of what we're transitioning to. So yeah, excited to kind of talk to you guys.
There you go. No, thank you. And thank you for everybody who also sent in some questions. I guess I have some questions later for you, Nick, for sure, in the topic of protocol and liquidity. And also, as you said, right, this kind of the next step of DeFi and also making it tangible for more people. But I would like to kick this off with the probably most asked question that I have seen. And Hyperion, I need to bring you back immediately. And maybe also Jonathan and Nick have some questions in terms of when Prism, right? Probably that's the question that everybody wants to hear. I don't know if you can drop some alpha. Will we see it soon? SJ, I think around Christmas, dropped something. I don't know if you can give us here some insight.
Yeah, so I think we are basically coming out the other side of our audit now. And that's been a really positive process. And I think we are now ready to say that we are going to be launching, and this is going to be in a matter of weeks. So I'm expecting that we probably will be able to launch our token, which I know people have been asking a lot about, within the next 2 weeks is the plan. SJ was dropping a little alpha over Christmas. We wanted to give people a warning ahead of time because for one of the phases of our launch, which is going to be a Y Luna farming event, people may want to make sure that they have their Luna ready to be able to split in Prism if they want to participate in that. So I think, middle of January, we're hoping to start the first stage of our launch, which is going to be a Mango Market style launch that's been communicated a little bit, but there's a bit of a change that we're going to be hosting this. We've built the contracts for this. And so after, some consultations and some feedback after the initial announcement that we made, it seems best to launch it from our own web app. So we're going to be doing this launch on Prism, where people will be able to deposit as much or as little UST as they want. And after a certain amount of time, the amount of UST in the vault each individual's contribution as a proportion of the total amount of UST in the vault determines how many Prism tokens they're going to get. Maybe I've gone a bit early on running you through all the minutiae of the launch, but I think that's going to be the first stage of the launch. Then fairly quickly following that, we're going to release 100% of the tokens that have been purchased in the Mango Market Style section. And that is going to be the initial DEX listing, which is going to be seeded at a price, at the kind of closing price for the Mango Markets launch. Then we're going to turn on our full web app very shortly after that for the third phase of our launch. And that is going to allow people to start refracting their Luna into Y Luna and P Luna. They can also then be liquidity providers if they want, and swap or trade. Or one of the other features we have is that people are going to be able to leave limit orders. So people will be able to do that on our web app. And then the fourth stage of the launch is going to be the Y Luna farming event. So we are opening up the farm shop, and we are going to let people deposit Y Luna and get Prism tokens in return. So very, very similar to some of the other farming events that we've seen on Terra. I guess maybe the main difference is that there's going to be a much shorter vesting period for tokens earned. So you're going to be able, at the moment, we're expecting that each Prism token you earn is going to be claimable 30 days later. So there's going to be a sort of smooth linear release of tokens. And then you're going to be able to remove your Y Luna from the farm at any point you choose. So it's not going to be locked in there. So hopefully that gives gives people some good options to choose their preferred method to get hold of Prism tokens and participate in the protocol early on.
I mean, you can be sure when we are done here, I'll need to go back, need to write down everything to be 100% sure that I get those four phases. But it's amazing that you just said it. People will probably very soon be able to get the first Prism tokens and also then use your protocol, which I myself looking forward. So I hear right now, end of January, beginning of February, could be something that everybody is looking forward to. Let me ask you one question. And then also, of course, Jonathan and Nick, please jump in here, because I think that's a general question now, seeing that Prism is going live. We have here one from Inicio Man, and he said, are you considering a different token launch than the Pylon Scout, or what you explained in general, after seeing how Astroport, but also Whitewell, launched their own token with the LBP, right? I don't know in general if you want to reflect on this, Hyperion, and then also maybe some feedback how you experienced this. I mean, Nexus Protocol has been now live for a long time, right? There has been also, let's say, buzz about the token price after you launch. And Levana, I don't know how you are seeing this, Jonathan, in terms of planning, right? I don't know who of you would like to take this first and maybe reflect a bit on this question.
I'm happy to give the thoughts on the launch method we're doing at the moment. And then obviously Jonathan and Tundra can chip in with their, I guess, their thoughts. I know that they'll have a lot of views on it as well, because it's something that you have to think about a lot. And there's a lot more to a token launch than the public sees, and a lot more considerations for that. And I think Nexus obviously did a great job of that. I mean, for what we're looking at from our side, really, we saw the Mango Markets launch, and it solved quite a lot of the issues that I believe had been prevalent in some Terra launches to that date. And we started building these contracts before the Nexus launch. So I think we'd seen Anchor, we'd seen Pylon. And so we wanted to find something that was ultimately starting from the basic principles that we want something that is fair, transparent, and easy to understand. And we want to have a large, decentralized holder base of Prism tokens as soon as we can. And so some of the issues that this Mango Market launch solves for is that I do think it's a very easy thing to understand. You deposit UST. If you put in 10% of the UST that's left in the vault at the end of it, then you get 10% of the Prism tokens that are available. And so it's very simple from that perspective. I think
I have a question. What of the total allocation of tokens, what percentage of that is being distributed through the launch methodology?
Yeah, I think at the moment we're looking somewhere between 7% and 10%. So we want to do that because I think it's important to get a decent free float of tokens out there. I think obviously with the launch methods that have been available before on Terra, that hasn't been the easiest thing to do. Because if you're not necessarily adding as much value to the protocol and to future users of the protocol as you can if you send out 15% of your tokens in a very low price swap, and you're not using that, when those are tokens that you can provide as liquidity incentives or something later on that might have a bigger impact for the protocol. So I think what we're trying to do is get out a decent free float of tokens at the start, so that it isn't too thin liquidity. I think the other issues we're trying to solve for is buyers are all going to get the same price. So the price is decided just by whatever the final amount of UST is left in the vault determines the price for everyone, and everyone gets exactly the same price. So whilst I do like liquidity bootstrapping pools, I think one of the issues is everyone gets a different price. If you're early and you get, you might get overexcited. You might have bought something at a significantly higher price than it ends up being, and it can make it a bit more difficult. I think we've also seen with some of the DEX offerings, the initial DEX offerings, that's also an issue where prices can get because if you do a fixed price swap, you're not in an easy position to know exactly what price you should seed the initial DEX offering at. And so sometimes those can all get swallowed up by bots. I think one of the other issues is, on the bot front, is that if you have fixed price swaps and IDOs and LBPs, bots can still front run you. There's still MEV, so minor extractable value can still happen in LBPs. And I think obviously a significant amount of the initial supply can get hoovered up. So Mango Markets solves those issues.
What about airdrops? What are your thoughts about airdropping to Luna stakers, to governors on other platforms, or is it purely just going to be through the pooled group purchase?
So we did a lot of soul searching on airdrops, and Flipside have published a lot of great research on it, and we've worked closely with Flipside. And I think what we, where we've shaken out on it is we have the ability, the capability to do airdrops later on if they're going to be impactful. But to start off with, there aren't going to be Genesis airdrops or ongoing airdrops. And what we're going to do is the highest value add really for people on our protocols or people on Prism is going to be actually getting in there, refracting their assets, trying it out. And so tokens that we were going to potentially use to airdrop, I think are going to have more benefit for Prism holders if they go into the farming event later on. And that's going to encourage people to, deposit their Luna, try out splitting it into P Luna and Y Luna, and hopefully get significantly higher yields on their Y Luna than they would outside of Prism.
Let me quickly add, exactly right. I wanted to ask you anyway, Tundra, in terms of, because now you heard the amount, right, that they are planning to put out there. You've witnessed it yourself, right? There was this unlock and then your IDO. I don't know if you kind of can reflect on what you've heard right now with what Prism is planning and what you experienced, right?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this on Twitter. Larry posted something like, maybe the Astroport token rewards should have been distributed over some period of time as opposed to like all at once. And then I actually talked to some of the other core contributors of Nexus about that. And I think that there's pros and cons. So just hitting the nail on the head perfectly and making everybody happy, I don't know. It's almost impossible. One question that I do have for Hyperion though is, where is the UST going? So a couple questions. So one of the problems that I think Astroport saw was the time period for depositing UST into the vault. It caused there to be different amounts of Astro being distributed for people like over the time horizon of the phases, I guess. So like if you put in UST at the very beginning, you thought you were receiving like 4 Astro. They were transparent about all this stuff. It wasn't like a total unknown. But at the very end of the phase, maybe you were only getting like 1 Astro or like 2 Astro per UST that you had deposited. So how do you think about that problem? Or is it more like that's just one of the trade-offs that you're making, where people don't know how much Prism token they're going to receive until the very end, which incentivizes people to wait until like the very last minute to have the most information, make the most educated decision as possible. And then at the very last second, people like pour in UST. Maybe that's a problem that is like worth trading off. And then the other question that I have is, where is the UST going? Because like, I think White Whale put almost all of the UST that they raised into the treasury, which they're now using for like protocol and liquidity. But you're also running, you know, it's not a business, but you're running a project, so you have to have funds set aside to like pay your developer team and stuff like that. So I'm curious.
Operational budget.
An operational budget, exactly.
Yeah. So on your first point, agree with you that you won't know until towards the end how many Prism tokens you're going to receive. Obviously, I guess in a similar way to the withdrawal phase, the second phase with Astro, the amount of Prism tokens that you receive is only going to go up and up and up in that final phase. And so you are kind of incentivized to putting UST into the first stage is really just a free option, because you can withdraw the full amount at any time right up to the end. So you have that free option. And then
was there an issue with that? That I don't remember exactly what the drama was, but I think it was perceived price manipulation, like large deposits in order to dilute the rewards, and then capital pulled out at the end.
So I'm
curious if you have any thoughts about that.
So one of the issues that has happened on Solana on these launches was that whales, initially when the process started, whales put in significant amounts of UST, and what appeared to be, USDC in that context on Solana, whales put in significantly more USDC than they actually intended to have in the final stage. And the reason that it was, hypothesized that they did that was in order to be able to spook smaller investors out of participating by making an artificially inflated price. So for Astro, that would have been the equivalent of someone depositing, you know, 2 billion's worth of BLUNA into the first stage of the Astro bootstrapping event, with the intention that they were only going to put in, you know, 250 million or a fraction of that towards the end, to sort of scare people off and say, well, look, you're not going to receive hardly any Astro tokens, so it's probably not worth your while. And then at the very end, they withdraw all their liquidity. So I think the risk, when you're looking at the risk for investors or people participating, the risk to them is that they end up shying away from participating when actually they would have got more Prism, or the more or equal to the amount of Prism tokens that they actually wanted. So I guess the first steps, or the main steps we're considering, are properly educating people that this is a game that whales might want to play. And the second thing that we're going to do is that we are going to make it so that rather than having a situation where whales will wait until the final blocks of the second stage to withdraw all of their UST, we're going to make it so that if you do that in those final stages and you have a wallet over a certain size, then it's going to be extremely punitive for you in terms of fees and costs. And so that's what we're going to try and do to try and deter that behavior. But I feel like the main risk is that people don't get to participate when they want to. So we need to just make sure that people are properly educated on how it's going.
Quickly maybe jump in terms of, because we have a question, right, from Peter Milford here saying kind of where he can read more about the Mongo markets topic. And there is a great page. And I don't know if there is right now information from your side already, because you have a Notion page, right, where people can find right now a lot of information about Prism Protocol. Yeah. I mean, I'm very proud, and thank you that you also have my video here about the Prism Farm up there. Is there specifically here information also about the Mongo market topic, or how can people learn more to be educated about this?
Exactly. If you under the on the left hand side, one of those drop downs says launch. One of the top drop downs, just under where it says Twitter.
Yeah. Yes.
Launch, yeah. And then you click on that, and that should have the information that you need.
Then let me open the real page so that we really see it here. I'm totally prepared, as you see, and then we have launch here, because I didn't find it myself, but now I know where to click. And there we go. We have here launch.
So this is. So I should update, as mentioned earlier, this is how the mechanism will work. We're going to be launching natively on our app, and then potentially Pylon might be using this infrastructure for future launches. So, but that has all the information people need on the mechanism. And actually, Mongo Markets light paper contains all the details on their launch. So that's also a good reference point.
Okay. And I see also here careers with Prism. So here's right now your chance to shill. Prism, yeah. Can say that you're looking for people, right?
Exactly. I don't know what to say. Come be a smart contract engineer and do some asset refracting. It'll be great fun. And then, to be honest, that probably ties in neatly with the question Tundra was asking. And I think is a really good point. It's like there are operational. There are operational costs to setting up a protocol. We're in a slightly funny situation as because we are splitting up assets. We're actually going to have 7 liquidity pools to seed when we start off, and we haven't done a VC round. So the proceeds from the proceeds from the Mongo market launch will hopefully be used to seed these 7 liquidity pools. So all of our assets are going to be versus Prism, and Prism's going to be the base asset of the liquidity pools. And then we're going to have Prism versus Y Luna, P Luna, C Luna, Luna, X Prism, UST, and AUST as well.
So 7, you're going to seed 7 pools with this raise. Do you have any target for amount of liquidity that you'd like to see for each pool?
Yeah, so I have this is one that we've been thinking a lot about, and I think that we do have targets. I don't want to say too much right now, but like we do have specific. I don't want to overpromise.
It's a close environment. Like,
sorry, I'm just a fan as well, Hyperion. So I totally understand and respect that. Don't want to pry too much.
No, honestly, it's a good question.
I'm a community member at heart, so I'm like up here with Prism and Lavana, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, to be honest, I chatted a lot with your colleague about this,
All right, well, I'll go pester them about
it. No. I what I'm saying is, you guys have done a great job with your liquidity pools, and so I've definitely been leveraging off your experiences behind your back, probably. but it's been really helpful speaking to Shimmy about it.
Cool. So I just wanted to make sure I understood. So the workflow is there's the Mongo Markets single price auction. I guess we can call it an auction. That will raise UST, and that UST will be used to cover the protocol's operational budget, and then also to create the initial liquidity pool on an AMM for the token. Is that AMM, I'm assuming, is Astroport, or you'll use your own AMM, or where, am I correct up to so far?
Yeah. So it's going to be used to seed 7 liquidity pools, and we are going to be starting off on our own AMM.
Well, where's the, and so then the liquidity pools, a lot of them are the sub assets of Luna, So then that will, that means that you'll have single-sided farming, where you'll be able to earn you'll be able to earn Prism tokens by depositing Luna, which then is broken up. So I deposit Luna, or I lock Luna, and then I receive these derivatives of Luna, and then I also receive emissions of Prism. Is it that's the theory? Or that's
so you're gonna have I guess very similar to Pylon Gateway. When we launch the farming event, you're gonna be able to swap your Y Luna yield for Prism tokens. But in the very basic original functionality of the protocol, what will happen is you deposit one Luna into Prism. You receive one Y Luna and one P Luna. With that one Y Luna, you can effectively stake it in Prism with no unstaking period, but just and then what happens is the yield of your one Luna that you originally put in the vault is collected by Prism. All of the Terra stablecoin rewards portion of the yield is converted to Luna, and then that Luna combined with the Luna portion of your Luna rewards is then put through Prism and split into Y Luna and P Luna, and that is distributed to you as a Y Luna staker. So you're getting this kind of like auto or like this DCA effect, where the Terra stables are being used to buy more Luna tokens by default. So if you're a Y Luna staker, what you're going to receive is you're going to receive more Y Luna, more P Luna, and then also your airdrops, so your Mirror, Anchor, etc.
That's awesome, and thank you for walking us through that.
Yeah, that's super great.
So I'm already looking forward to create a few flowcharts, and Hyperion, be sure that I will text you, right, kind of all the overviews, and you can tell me then if I got it right, yes or no. And then we put some farms on top of this and some milk, and then hopefully everybody can get it as easy as possible. Also to being a little bit mindful of time, right? And I think it's a good turnover in terms of launching now, because we have this question from Running Cut. What is Livana thinking now about the LVN launch, right? I don't know if you're able even to talk about this, Jonathan, because also you sent me just a few seconds before we started kind of this massive, and I love it, right, updated roadmap in terms of there is so much coming, right? And now hearing, and I guess that's why we're asking questions, right? How are you doing? Is there right now something planned already for Livana? How do you think about all those topics now for your token?
Sure. So it's, I mean, first of all, we're very communicative on Discord with the community, and the goal is to make the most amount of people the most happy, which is a very challenging thing. So there's so we're going to start out with an airdrop, there's been a lot of debates and speculation as to exactly how the airdrops are going to be distributed. I think all of the answers are there if for people who are good detectives. We've kind of seen it. Kind of reminds me, I don't know if you watched The Good Place, but they had that one like stoner guy that was like, oh, here's what the afterlife is like, and then everybody like paused and was like, did you leak that? No, we didn't. So we've seen that that people have picked up on some interesting feedback through insights that are kind of hidden in the lore and on Discord and various other places, but I don't want to spoil that. What we're looking for in terms of building the first liquidity pool is using a methodology similar to White Whale and Astroport. They had very different, the challenge I had with Astroport as a user was I was confused a little bit at various different stages. I had to come back. I think I came back to the website successfully on three different occasions. I think that could be simplified significantly There was a lot of decision making that I was asked to do as a user. And we actually, we did a poll as to which the Luna, the Terra community preferred. And there was a slight preference to White Whale, but there really is an elegance, I think, to how, to how an airdrop can happen. So now you've got your core community and your core community with these airdrop tokens, like Flipside, so graciously created that report and then distributed that. If you don't give people something to do with the token once it's airdropped, then they will simply dump it. And we're all guilty of that. So I don't blame anybody. It doesn't mean you're a bad community member. It just, it's a failure on the protocol itself or the designers. And so we're looking at a method where there will be an airdrop and keep it simple, sweetheart. I love that. There will be an airdrop. It'll be distributed to the community. It'll be, again, a relatively small float. And then there will be a bootstrapping pool creation, which will allow those initial tokens, which are in the market, to be paired with UST that then will be funneled into Astroport. And that will be the first live farming program that will happen. And it's it'll have a window as to how long contributions will be open for. We're looking at ways to incentivize people to not wait until the end, because with all of these things where the math is done retroactively, so your rewards might start out here, and then as more whales come in, they drop down to here, and so we'd like to see something that can help incentivize early participants. We've had a lot of success, in building a community through these evolutionary NFTs that we've created. So we see that there's going to be a lot of and there's a lot of fun that I think that you can bring into the occasion through these are concepts that we've seen in game design and incentivizations and behavioral analysis and study of badges, trophies, things of that nature, which to a greater extent NFTs lend themselves very well. So we do anticipate that in addition that NFTs will play a role in the launch strategy, but I don't want to give too much away because there's a lot of fun. And if you're listening to this, if you want to be part of the ideation process, it's all a lot of it is happening on the private Discord channels on the Luvana Discord, which you do need to be an NFT holder in order to get verified. There are plenty of members of the community that are already NFT holders. So I highly recommend for you to join and then come participate, share your ideas, because what I've noticed is, and not just for me, but for many of the people in the room, is that when we get into these brainstorming sessions with the community, I personally feel like I'm the dumbest guy in the room, that there's just so many brilliant people with brilliant ideas. And that's why, Tundra, when you said, the statement about like, we want to leverage the intelligence of the community, I mean, half of the stuff that we've done to date at Luvana has been, ideas from the community that then the core devs have been able to bring to light. So I highly recommend that approach.
Quickly before, I would like also to ask Tundra, in terms of now listening to the reward discussion, right, and how to do it with airdrop, I would be very interested to hear how you now reflected on a few weeks of being live, kind of seeing the price development, which I think kind of is usual at right now Terra, because there's not so much liquidity, right? A little bit of FOMO is kicking in. Before you answer, yes, this is recorded. I've seen this question a few times in the comments, right? So after this is kind of finished, you will find this as a normal video on my YouTube. So Tundra, there you go.
So what's the question, Nick?
Well, I don't know in general, if you want to reflect on what you've heard right now and also questions.
If you would go back and do it again, would you change anything?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So yeah, obviously done like a ton of reflection about this, and you know, I think so. I'll give you an answer, and then if we had got in a time machine and went back and did it that way, and then fast forward today, I'd probably tell you a number of other things that I would have done differently as well. So, and that's what I was saying to Hyperion. I feel like it's just so, there's so many trade-offs, and like Hyperion said it so perfectly. There's so many considerations that happen behind the scenes that the public really never knows about or thinks about. And, you know, that makes it really difficult from a builder's perspective because you are balancing all these things. And Jonathan said it well, like ultimately you're trying to kind of create the best possible solution, but you know that there's going to be, you know, trade-offs along the way. I think I love how we're kind of creating workarounds to the problem of like KYC, which is something that, you know, we obviously did, but, you know, I personally, I don't love the fact that we did that. I don't love having to do KYC. So I really like that these different solutions are kind of a workaround for that. I also think that, you know, when it comes to like token distribution, and I can kind of just walk through a little bit of this. So like for Pylon Swap, you know, we had like a fixed price swap and the tokens unlocked on December 12th. And they were all unlocked at that point in time. They could have been unlocked like 10% per month or whatever, you know, whatever, like some like linear vesting schedule. The thing that you're balancing as a builder is like, is this enticing enough for the community to want to participate? Because you want to maximize participation, and you definitely don't want to run the risk of like significantly falling short of your goal, because so much energy and so much time goes into this for you to have like a flopped, you know, sale event because your terms were too tight on the community. So that's something you can't really predict ahead of time. You just kind of do your best and then see how it goes. And I think actually for Astroport, maybe a similar consideration there, like, do they deliver all the tokens right after the swap process, or do they deliver over like some period of time? And would the same number of people locked up liquidity had those decisions been made differently? It's really hard to tell in retrospect. So that's maybe one thing, as well as the KYC. You know, beyond that, I do appreciate like the LBP stuff and what we've seen with White Whale, because I think, you know, they now own their own liquidity, which is good. There's a couple, again, like trade-offs and considerations that have to be, you have to understand that go into that. So one, and I haven't seen almost anybody on Twitter or elsewhere talking about this, but except for Danku, and I think it's totally true. And that's the concept of decentralization. Because what happens is when your token emission is so low and not very many people have your token, or holders become more centralized over time because the same whales buy up tokens, whatever, you end up with a less decentralized protocol than what, you know, maybe other like designs could lead to. So that's, you know, decentralization is one kind of thing to think about early on when it comes to like, if you raise money and you use it to like not have to give out any emissions, token emissions, then that is a side effect that can occur. Another side effect that can occur is, depending on how you go through fundraising, you might underfund your team. Like from an operational perspective, we talked about that a little earlier, you might underfund your team, and that money now goes into the liquidity pools, which is great because it means the token emission isn't coming out as fast. But what that also means is you might not have the funds that you need to like run the project for like 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, however long it needs to be. And you don't have the funds to like grow the team. So you only have like 2 developers or 3 developers, and that's kind of your limit. And you might not even have funding for, and I'm not trying to say anything about any project. You know,
no, I mean, runway through an operational budget is the oxygen that allows a project to stay afloat. You know, it's a very competitive market. Rust developers are worth their weight in gold. And if your team gets sniped away to competitors, there's not really anything that you can
And the liquidity pools, like, you know, they're okay, great. There's not emissions now on the liquidity pool, and so the token is like harder to get a hold of, and you know, and I'm not trying to poo-poo that, because it is a question of trade-offs. But I'm just kind of highlighting some of the things that happen that people don't really understand goes on behind the scenes. And they have massive implications on a number of different levels. What I can say for Nexus specifically is our team now is up to, I want to say, 13 people. And we are working on a number of things that I think are...
Somebody is... I hear the sound all the time of a messaging app. I don't know.
Sorry.
Maybe a little bit.
That's my Discord.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
How's the composition of those 13 people split up, like in terms of developers, designers, front end, back end, etc.? You don't have to go into too specifics, but I mean, like, in terms of kind of the 13 team now, how do you sort of balance that as like what's kind of outward looking and what's coming
out of your contract?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about the inner workings. Yeah.
So yeah. So let me answer that, but I just want to kind of conclude like my thought on this. So the design path that we took from an architecture perspective when it came to launching is like, how do we optimize for kind of like all components, but ultimately we need to make sure that we can like build Nexus into something great. And so that was like securing our runway was a core consideration for us, amongst other core considerations such as token emissions, such as like a number of other things. So I think now we're in a position where we actually have like a number of smart contract developers, number of front end developers, and we're hard at work on some things that I think are going to be like core products and things that people in the community are going to use for years to come. And Nexus is going to be a core part of the Terra community for years to come. So, you know, that's what I'll just say about our project. In terms of like how we work, so like I remember I heard about projects that had like these giant teams, and I always thought like, how the hell do they get anything done? Because it's hard to coordinate people. But now I think we work with like more we work within like different kind of pillars almost. Like I don't talk too much to the smart contract developers, but I talk all the time with our designer and our front end team. Some of our other people work just purely with smart contract developers, and maybe they also work with like, you know, we have like some people working on just backend stuff, which is slightly different from smart contract. So, and then there are times where we kind of come together and like, you know, we have like a weekly call where we kind of like talk through different things as like an entire team. But I think we're starting to move more towards like, we work with kind of like our functional units, and then, we kind of connect on like a weekly basis outside of that.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. I'd say on your launch as well. Like, I mean, you know, it's great that we all get to kind of leverage off the trails that you blazed before. And to be honest, our Discord, you know, when I think after your launch, our Discord just lit up with people saying, you know, your launch was the best in class launch that that people
it's
have
easy.
Seen.
I really appreciate you saying that, because like we've tried to do a good job in this community in general, and like put the best foot forward. And yeah, like I think that I believe in constant improvement. I fully expect that Prism's launch and Lavana's launch is going to be even way better than Nexus's launch, and that's just the reality of it. And probably projects after. Yeah. Your guys' launch will improve upon the things that
that's kind of the point, you know, that's the point of open source finance, is that if you're not, you know, if the projects that exist that launch a year from now don't look at the roster and what people did before and then make them better, then what are they even doing here? Go work in Wall Street.
For sure. And by the way, like the launch event is very important. That's why we've spent so much time talking about it, because it does set the tone and all this stuff. But it really is just like a moment in time. And then beyond that, it's like up to the people, the teams and the people behind the project to like further expand and deliver. And it's like, ultimately, go look at Terra. Terra's like a year old.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what I'd say from what like you... year.
So
yeah, it was November. We got the Mirror airdrop.
Yeah. We're so early on. And like this, the way that we're looking at it at Nexus is like, we're super bullish on Terra, and we believe that this is like a decades thing, you know, not like a 12-month or 6-month thing. And I know that crypto has a tendency to like hyper focus people on short time horizons, but yeah, I mean, my recommendation would be like, find teams that you believe in and like projects that you want to support, and then understand like the time horizon is going to be a little uncomfortable, and it's going to be longer, like it's a longer time horizon than what crypto I think forces people to kind of consider.
Taking a longer term view on the protocol, I think, you know, the more time I spend in the ecosystem, the more I realize that, you know, teams, when you listen to people speak and you hear different protocols and you realize kind of like the team behind it, you know, a lot of these times in startups, you're investing in a team. And I think, you know, having confidence in the team, I think, is a really important thing. And then just trying to take a longer term view on the fundamental value of the project and where it's going to sort of drive revenue. But I think, you know, your points on the launch are really, you know, really ring true, because I think something that can get lost sometimes is that value has been created. When it comes time for a token to or a protocol to launch, value has been created, and how that value is transferred becomes really, really important. And I think the days are gone of or are disappearing where value is transferred in a you know, to a small discrete number of people in a at a very kind of low price. And I think value is now being transferred in clever, you know, really intelligent ways, like, you know, Jonathan's doing with Lavana. And I think, you know, value is hopefully being transferred to protocols now, where you're seeing with White Whale. And I think making sure that the transferred value goes into the hands of the people that are going to help accrete as much more additional value on top of that for the future of the protocol, I think really becomes should be the most important thing for people buying the tokens, rather than hoping for an instant 10x or 20x or something like that.
Totally agree.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, that's anyway still part of the story, right? And I think it's fair. I noticed it myself, right? I think I'm honest about this. When I first learned about crypto, it's kind of, oh, there is an opportunity, right? But then you arrive here and then you see how much more there is behind. And that's what I'm right now talking to my family and friends. It's like, no, forget about what you can do if you can get a 10x. Let's talk about what is behind that. And then a lot of people I noticed also got, oh, so there's really something behind it. It's not like just trading and trying to get more out of this. And that's why, and kind of seeing the time a little bit and the two topics that I want to touch here for sure, it's kind of, I hope that, I don't know, if you guys want to come back in February, will you just come back and we talk about also kind of what you understand in the crypto journey. Why I say this is because we had a question in here, and Jonathan, it's back to you. Maybe you can share quickly that there is also the light paper out there. And we had the question that I would like to ask you in a second, kind of, what is the next token? And maybe you quickly can touch upon what Luna 2X is. But before we have this, kind of, I promised everybody on Twitter that I would like to give away one of those beautiful eggs, because it's funny. You were with me, Jonathan, when I was opening all the meteors. After you left and then I kind of closed the stream, I was so lucky with all the common eggs. I had a 50-50 in the end, kind of eggs that were, or maybe, and the other eggs. That was really crazy. That's why I would like to give this one away. The question now is,
you did much better than I did. Yeah.
I heard a lot of people didn't do so much. Yeah. That's why I would like to give it out there. So the question is whom to give it to. And Jonathan, I would like to ask you, so in the comments, please, everybody, and I need to mute here a guy and block him. Give us a name for a dragon.
Mudface XYZ to win the common egg.
You can yourself. I mean, yeah. I would like to ask you, Jonathan, that the one in the comments just puts a name for a dragon if he gets this egg, right? And you, Jonathan, just pick who is the one that you like the most as a name for the future dragon rider. So everybody in the comments just right now, quickly put down the names and then we pick one of you guys. So we just give it a few seconds. Maybe the question in the meantime to Tundra and also Hyperion Can we expect NFTs also with your projects? Is this something that's relevant for you guys now that you've also seen what kind of Levana did?
I mean, Hyperion, do you want to take that?
Or should I have a nice little collection, not as nice as yours, Tundra, but we and you know, I really like I spend a lot of time on NFTs, but I find it fascinating. Like finding a way for it to integrate with Prism, I think is definitely something that's on my mind, but not necessarily front of mind right now. Like I think that in the future, things like and I know it might be similar for Jonathan with a perpetual protocol, but things like that where you're able to give kind of NFT awards and trade, you know, to trading competitions and to kind of like incentivize people performing certain activities and reward certain activities. And we are in touch with people about similar things to what White Whale did, where you kind of have commemorative NFTs for people that participate in the launch and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely
The trophy aspect of NFTs on top of a DeFi protocol, I mean, it's just so obvious. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Mars giving out an NFT when somebody, you know, if somebody gets a lending position wiped out, or getting an award for being trading competition.
What would an NFT look like for somebody who got their lending position wiped out, like a gravestone, like a?
Well, I think what you want is you want to reward the spirit of adventure, and praise the risk takers, because without taking risks. That it's very hard to have rewards or to have major gains. And so I think that that's the thought process, at least on the incubated with from on the Delphi team. So we know the Mars project and Astroport, which are also part of Delphi. So we know them very well. And so there's been a lot of really interesting conversations around NFTs and around the concept of avatars and what the metaverse is, this whole, I'm sure you guys all read the tweet thread recently. Metaverse is not a place. The metaverse is an area of focus over a time period. As more of our the way that we interact between humans is digital versus in real life. You know, now I'd much rather have a punk than a Rolex, because in the circle that I interact with, that's a more accurate sign of wealth. If I wanted to showboat like that. So I think that it is, when there first was proposed within the Levana project was let's gamify it and let's bring on 1 million monthly active users. The only way to really do that, I think, is through a gamification focused on NFTs. And I think that the fact that we're able to capture the attention and the heart of the Terra community showed that that we scratched an itch that many people had.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think from a fundamental perspective, so there's the trophy side of it, and there's also the actual owning assets that are able to be yield generating in the metaverse, and that, whether that's lending people out your punks or whether that's owning land and people borrowing your guns or your weapons or your space loot to be able to kind of fight people off in games and that kind of stuff, and you're earning a yield from that. And so I find that side, from a personal perspective and from a Prism perspective, I find that side of the metaverse and NFT super interesting. And that's why, so there's a there, you know, the Galactic the Galactic Punks guys are helped create this new thing called Galactic Grids, which is going to effectively be three words that represent your ownership of a volume of space in the metaverse, and it's going to be interoperable with other protocols like Hermes and Colonies is the first one that they're launching with. And for me, that's the kind of and also a really interesting migration of the NFT landscape on Terra, where you're starting to actually get land. And then once you, or like a volume of space, and once you start doing that and you can accumulate assets in your volume of space, then you're, then you can start getting yield and like playing proper games against people and having that as kind of a building block. And so that's the direction of travel that I'm super interested in. And that I think, you know, once you have that, people are going to be able to start splitting up their land into yield and principal components from a Prism perspective.
Before also Tundra talks about apes here, which probably is the next step specifically for NFTs and Nexus Protocol.
I see there's a lot of Rolex fans out there also.
Yeah, rub
people the wrong way. I don't know how many of you, like when I think of a Rolex, I think of like my dad or maybe my granddad, you know?
Well, let's put it like this. Did you kind of select a question now before we go into dads and grandpas here? Do you have a name that you saw in the comments that you like? Maybe I can find it also then.
Liviosa definitely caught my attention, because Liviosa, actually Lavana, means to raise up. And so that was one of the, it's the name of the moon in Hebrew. And it is. It also means to lift up. It's from the same root as Liviosa. So I think it is. It's inevitable that there will be a dragon called Liviosa. And we're actually, for those that don't know, Lavana is a. It's a story. It is a. If you haven't read the lore that you know is linked to in our Medium, we have 5 articles of that out, which tell the story of Lavana and how dragons came to Mars. And we're actually working on a, you can see it in the, the best way to learn about what we do is probably just to start out with the December update. But there's some samples. You saw Lore 5, and we're actually in the process. This year, we're going to be releasing a 300-page novel of the story of dragons on Mars.
There you go. I'm looking forward to that one. And if I can pre-order that one, please let me know before it goes on Amazon.
Yeah, it's going to be released as an NFT. And when you get the NFT, you'll actually get the book shipped to you.
There you go. So is it now Sir Beagle? Is he winning with Liviosa?
Yes. Yep. That was the winner.
So for Sir Beagle, please send to me in an email. You see it here, dankukairs@gmail.com. Yes, the others try to be fair, just really the winner that had sent it to me. And I don't know, kind of try to put something so that I really recognize it as you, like your own YouTube account, and then that you can edit stuff, that I'm 100% sure it's you. And congratulations for the act. I hope there is a nice dragon in there. So also, because we are already about an hour, and I think we really need to repeat this if you guys enjoy this as well, also from the viewer's perspective, but from you here, and thank you for taking the time, is I would like to also talk about Nexus Protocol and the topic of protocol on liquidity, right? Because I think we have seen very special things now together with the topic of the pylon pools, and I just put it up here. I don't know if we want to have the name of this pool discussed here. We talked about this personally, but maybe you can give some background of what happened there, why, and then also what right now is the stage that you're in as a protocol.
Yeah, I think the name thing is it's unfortunate. I think is probably the best word to use. It was how Pylon had programmed it in the back end on their side. I don't know. We try to talk to them and get it changed. But that's how it would show up in like TerraSwap and stuff. So we weren't able to make that happen. But if you're not familiar with liquid pylon pools, essentially the idea is similar to normal pylon pools. It's lossless investing. So you go there, you deposit your money, and then at the end of the maturity term, you receive your UST back. And then along the way, you're earning some Psi, returns or whatever token returns you want. But what makes this different is it's actually liquid. And what that means is when you deposit UST, normally you would just be receiving yield, and you would have to wait the whole term length before you can withdraw your UST back. But now you will actually receive a ledger token called B something something Psi. I don't have it memorized.
Yeah, but I'm scrolling it now quickly to it.
I think
there you go.
And so like what this allows you to do, so what you can do is you can take the ledger token, and then once you've deposited money in, you can take the ledger token, you can go over to TerraSwap and actually exchange it into UST. So it's basically, it's a liquid version of Pile and Pool. So you can exit your position. Now, if you sell your B size, what I'll call it, then, which is just a ledger token you get from depositing UST, then you no longer get the yield that you see there. I think right now it's 34% APR. But it gives you an option to later down the road, if you wanted to get out of this pool for whatever reason, you can actually do that. The one thing I would just advise is take a look at TerraSwap and the slippage for smaller like transactions. So I would say like sub $20,000, slippage is not going to be that bad. For larger transactions, you'll have to break it down into smaller increments. But what we've seen is this actually been super popular. So if you click under details down below right there. Yeah, so we're almost at 15.7 million in total deposits.
Oh, wow.
One of the you know, really interesting things that we're doing here, most pylon pools, and this is going back to like this concept of like, we need to fund teams so they can build stuff. Most pylon pools, the money from the pylon pools is going directly to the teams to fund their operational balance, basically. 50% of the money that's coming from this pylon pool is actually going directly into the Nexus treasury, which is going to be used for protocol and liquidity, which is going to reduce emissions over time and slow down the emissions rate, essentially, of Psi. And because this is, and also Spectrum, has this now live on their website. It's the third largest pool on Spectrum with close to 9.5 million in TVL. Because this has grown so much, we're actually like trending just slightly ahead of schedule for achieving our protocol and liquidity goals. So we would strongly encourage you to check this out. It's a great way to earn yield with like very, very limited, I would say, like principal risk. Exactly right here. So make sure, you know, you're understanding slippage. So yeah, here, this should show you, it should be like $80 or so, $85. Oh, okay. So by the way, the liquidity of the pool itself will change kind of over time, but you can see here. So you could just exit this position right now. What you're essentially doing is you're yielding about 34-35% on UST. And if you wanted to exit that position, it would cost you $4 to get back into UST. Right. So it's a pretty, I think it's just a fundamentally improved version of pylon pools. And I think they're going to start doing more of it. But if you use this pool, not only are you going to be getting a better yield, but you're actually going to be helping the protocol itself and ultimately strengthening Psi and making it more of like a hard asset. So definitely recommend checking this out.
There you go. Interesting for me is also to hear now, Jonathan and Hyperion, how do you think, first of all, about protocol on liquidity, right? Is this relevant for you long-term? And how do you see what Nexus Protocol has been doing then with this kind of pylon pool in the last weeks?
Well, I think that if a protocol is making a profit, meaning that users are customers really are coming and they're using the functionality of the protocol and it's collecting fees, which it should, because if it's not able to provide a service that people are willing to pay for, then you know there's just questions about its long-term stability. Then ultimately, it makes a lot of sense for the DAO that manages the protocol to take those funds from the treasury and then allocate it to ensure that there's ample liquidity to enter and to exit the positions that are needed within the platform. And that could be positions for its native governance token, that could be pools for products that are offered like the Luna 2X or you know the various versions of yield bearing Luna or principal Luna, it is I think it's inevitable that it'll be a standard that protocols own a significant percentage, because it de-risks a platform. It makes it that the community itself, the DAO, can ensure it can be its own liquidity provider for new participants joining, and the consequence of that is that over time you encourage an increased amount of decentralization for the protocol, which then just helps ensure its longevity. So that's why I think that while protocol owned liquidity may be challenging, especially with balancing the high burn rate of building in the crypto space, and having an ample runway or operational budget, those are always the challenges. Is that where do you put the funds? You put the funds. You pay your engineers, or your designers, or do you put that into an AMM so that people can trade it? But I think that ultimately, even the protocols that are not lucky enough to start out with protocol and liquidity, if they're successful, they will end up with protocol and liquidity because of the objective value that it brings.
Got it. Hyperion, how's Prism seeing this topic?
Yeah, I really like what Nexus have done. I think, you know, I guess yield generating assets in a treasury are, you know, something that's happened in a corporate world for, you know, generations, but something that doesn't happen in protocols at all. And you'll have treasuries of large companies that are investing in fixed income instruments or other assets that are going to be generating them yield. And I think having a protocol doing that as well, I think makes a lot of sense. I think for the liquidity aspect specifically, obviously liquidity farming and liquidity incentives have become a hallmark of DeFi, and you know, in some cases obviously have been value destructive rather than value accretive. And so solutions like this, I think, are brilliant. I mean, the way that we're looking at it from ourselves is, I think, to, as it specifically relates to liquidity incentives, you know, liquidity incentives are to compensate liquidity providers, and liquidity providers' total return is based on the return of the underlying assets that you're putting into the liquidity pool. So that's part of the reason we're pairing all our assets with Prism, because we want people to want a liquidity providing to be attractive if they're taking a long-term view on Prism. I think also AMM fees, so the fees that are taken every time someone makes a swap, are a key component of liquidity provider's yield. And so the approach that we're taking on that is looking at what some of the day trading platforms do in traditional finance, where you're trying to stimulate as much trading volume as possible. And I think the things that can do that are technical analysis and giving people the tools to do that. And I think people respond really positively to TradingView and other things, you know, things like CoinHaul has done, but things that Binance, you know, have had for the longest time. So I think enabling people to do technical analysis on your token and on your pools helps stimulate trading volume. I think adding limit orders is also going to allow people to trade more and leave orders out there to trade at levels they're comfortable at when they're not necessarily monitoring their screens. So that's something else we've enabled. And then trading alerts, just, you know, CoinHaul's just started doing these. We're going to be using them for Prism as well. So, you know, you're going to get pinged on Telegram if Luna reaches 80 or something like that, and you're going to be able to instantly trade. And I think one of the things we're also going to do is, by enabling AUST as an asset on our AMM, people are going to be able to leave limit orders in AUST. So you're going to be able to leave a limit order having a yield-bearing asset there. And I could just leave a low ball order out to buy Luna at 60
And if there's some crazy wick down one day, in the meantime, I've been earning lots of yield with my AUST, but I can leave that order out there into perpetuity, feeling pretty comfortable about it, that it's not just dead asset earning no yield. So I think there's like different sides to it, which is generate as much yield as you can through trading volume, try and reduce liquidity incentives, potentially having protocol loan liquidity. And then I think the way that AMMs are migrating with concentrated liquidity and kind of other innovations like Curve V2 and so the Curve crypto pools are going to make it more efficient again for liquidity providers, where they're going to and traders, where there's going to be less slippage. So protocols in a way just have to kind of like hang on until those things are a lot more prevalent. Yeah,
100%. And then also things like Astroport is going to start kind of like this curve war concept on Terra. And the basic idea is like the more Astro you have, the more Astro rewards you can direct to certain pools. So it'll be interesting to see how that also plays in. The concept of liquidity is going to evolve a lot over this next year. And I think we'll be in a better place than we are today, which is like very inefficient. You know, we need tons of money sitting around in these liquidity pools. And I totally agree with everything Hyperion said. But it seems to me like we're going to get to a better place through like all the different innovations that you just mentioned.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned it also in terms of Astroport, because I also tweeted it, I think, a few weeks ago or days ago, because somebody did an amazing thread also about what is happening right now in Ethereum. Right. And of course, we are right now driven short term about price movement, about the different tokens. But as you said, I think the infrastructure that is building right now on Terra is really long term. Right. So in terms of, I mean, kind of, would you like to give away right now your Astro, kind of in terms of what's coming there? As you said, the Astro Wars, who knows, with Apollo DAO there getting a lot of tokens and all the different liquidity owned stuff that is coming, trying to accrue then Astro, who knows? Right. This will be one of the interesting pieces. I would like to give a quick shout out to CoinHole. I think there is not enough appreciation for what the guys are doing here. I think completely free right now. I tried to get them also here on the channel because they said that now it's okay for them to get docs. And I want to give them back as much as possible because I'm using CoinHole myself on a daily basis, right? And I think right now on Whitewell, we have seen the LBP was introduced or kind of also mixed with what the CoinHole guys are doing. So big shout out to them. I don't know if they're in the stream or seeing this later on. Thank you for your great work. I mean, Hyperion, you said something like Luna at 80 or 60. I kind of completely blacked out that moment, right? But
what I'd say is on your shout out to CoinHole, I've spoken with the team a lot as well. And if you zoom in on your screenshot there, you'll see the CoinHole validator is now live at the top of the screen. So if Danku enjoys CoinHole, maybe a cheeky little delegation their way would.
You think that I'm not right now putting my.
No, I think you are.
Right? No, but I think it's a good point also here, and a shout out to all the different community validators. I think in Stata they have their own pool, be it Terabytes, be it Smart Stake, be it, I don't know, right? I'm sorry for those that I forgot. I will also probably try to tweet about this. I think they're doing all an amazing work, like you guys with your protocol. And basically, you are developing for us, right? We should also not forget this. In the end, you are doing this. You are airdropping tokens for free. You are decentralizing your protocol. Amazing. I would like to cut it short here because we are going almost 1.5 hours, which is wild.
Can I just have one more question? Because I've been dying to ask this, and I think it'll be a good question. Maybe I'll be told that it's not a good question, but Hyperion, are you more bullish on Luna Y or Luna P?
Woo!
Great questions.
Okay, very good question. So obviously, personal views, not financial advice, DYOR, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So for me personally, it obviously it depends where they end up trading. I probably fall in the Moonboy camp on Luna a little bit, in that I have some pretty strong feelings that I think the stablecoin market is going to be somewhere between 2 to 5 trillion in the not too distant future. And I think that Terra will have a 10 to 20% market share, realistically could have a 10 to 20% market share of that.
which when you do the maths is, you know, is Luna well into four or five figures. So because of that, I would rather have leverage to the price, and gun to my head, I'm gonna be stacking some V Luna.
All right, that's awesome.
Very cool. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. I had a few more questions prepared. If that's okay for you, I would just drop it into our DMs, right? And maybe you could give me an answer and I can send it back to the different people, because most of them, I've seen them on Twitter, and I think that would be fair for them. So sorry for the next time. I will be anyway prepared a little bit better with the question. It was a test. So thank you for everybody sending in the questions. And now back to you guys, right? I think one-to-one, if you want to kind of say something to finish this one up, I think we would go Jonathan, Tundra, and then Hyperion. It's up to you guys to have the last word.
So I was, I was active in the Ethereum community in 2018 when it was smaller and significantly less mature than where Terra is today. And I just don't think there's really any competition. Like what we're building here, what each of you guys are building here, the amount of experimentation, the amount of opportunity that we have, the fact that we're working on a platform which generates the only trustless, censorship resistant stablecoin that it really exists in the entire market. It's very important that we kind of pause to recognize just how lucky we are. And I can't even imagine. I totally agree with you, Hyperion, that Luna is probably the best risk reward. Obviously, all of those, I'm just speaking for myself. But it's amazing. It's amazing to get to do this with such rock stars as the two of you, or really as the three of you. Danku, you're in this list too.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'd echo that, and I'd say the fun stuff about these conversations, when you always throw them together, is you leave the conversation scratching your head a little bit, thinking like, it's amazing that we all get to basically think about ways that the protocols can integrate with each other and use the assets that each protocols or the assets or sort of kind of capabilities and infrastructure that each of the individual protocols is creating. And so you end up being much greater than the sum of your parts, because everything is so composable, and having these conversations, is brilliant for putting that stuff front of mind. So, and thank you very much, thank you for hosting it.
My big pleasure.
The only other thing I'd add, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, in addition to like all the great tokenomics of Luna and the deflationary and everything that Jonathan said, I think actually, and I think I may have even tweeted this, the reason why I think like Terra is going to be successful is because there's actually like a heartbeat here. Like if you kind of hang around Twitter and you join these, if you're listening to this right now, you're part of the community, and you could reach out to me and or Jonathan or Hyperion, and I think we all have like kind of a common goal and a common mission, and that to me it's so powerful because we can leverage each other's wisdom and also like our minds. And that is what makes me so bullish on what we're building, is that I feel this sense of community, and it's not like a fake sense of community. So I appreciate everybody who's here, and I appreciate everyone who's kind of helping us build the future together. And personally, I think 2022 is going to be like way bigger than 2021. 2021, we didn't even do anything. It was like nothing really in 2021. 2022 and this whole decade, I'm just so bullish on. So really excited. I hope that doesn't come across too like moon boyish. But
I mean, I just said $10,000 Luna. You can't.
Yeah, I've been a proponent of like the multi-year bull or whatever for for some time. So anyway, I'm just excited, and thanks guys for doing this. And yeah, cheers.
That's it. Very good. Thank you, everybody. So for you guys in here, don't run away when I end the stream. We have a few more seconds. It doesn't break down here. But for me, thank you for joining, for taking the time. Thank you for everybody in the stream asking questions. Congratulations to the one who got the egg. Let me know later on how it looks like. And then latest on in a month, again here with Inside Life. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Alpha Hour with Lavana, Prism, and Nexus Protocols, hosted by Danku. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Rolling down the street in my 6'4". I never had a 6'4". A kid can wish though. I snapped a wishbone and grabbed a fistful. Chilling with the dopiest of weed is all I wish for. I'm feeling blissful. I got a missus. My ginger always down to ride no matter what the mission. I'm singing this song. Got a couple albums out. We do alright, but it ain't really shit to write home about. Like to feed the fishbowl. Keep my stories mystical. I like my beats boom bap and rap to be lyrical. I'm feeling cynical. Craving a little ritual. Save my place in line while I try to find a miracle. I keep looking and looking and looking, but never find nothing. We've been lied to, thinking this surprise under super secret lies. Motherfuckers sneak inside, going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. The trenches, trying to stay offensive. Trespassing here like this land looks expensive. Ain't no time like the present. Trying to stake a claim, just make sure your claim stays away from all these other claims. We're almost kinda running out of land here. Living in the day of the dead and it's damn weird. Same teams, y'all, we just trying to get a bite to eat. A little rest saved up, waiting for my time to sleep. Head down, middle fingers up, yo, I'm wide awake. Never hesitate to stay about 100 miles away. Seven time and space, while the wrecking ball the place. I expect you all to play, running marathons today. When the sick get sicker and the rich get richer, it might be about time to rearrange our dinner. Fix the system, the shit, it's all nixed. Waking up early, gonna suck today's. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die.
Clark's a great guy, man. He's totally gonna take care of Angela, man. He's great. He's a wonderful lab partner, so it's gonna be cool. We'll keep an eye on her.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Terra Spaces.